The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:30pm with Stuart Beasley, Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. We have racing from Musselburgh, providing it passes a 6:45am inspection, and Lingfield in the afternoon, and then into the evening, the usual Friday evening of all-weather action at Wolverhampton and Dundalk. Unfortunately, no Chepstow, that meeting abandoned. My name is Mark Walton, still plenty to look at though, and joining me in the studio to do so is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stevie?
Yeah, very good, Mark. Very good.
Good.
A bit cold, actually, to be honest.
It is pretty cold, yeah.
Yeah, a bit parky. But other than that, fine.
Yeah. We're in the middle of an amber weather warning in Leeds, apparently, today.
Yeah, it is a bit blowy.
that's why it's an amber weather warning, with chances of it being a bit blowy.
Well, it's very blowy in certain exposed areas. It's not too bad in town, though. Depends if you just don't stand by certain buildings in Leeds.
Plenty to talk about, Stevie. A lot of news going on. And we'll start with the story that's kind of been rumbling on all week. Now it is confirmed that Sprinter Sacra is in the declarations for the Clarence House Chase. He's even money. He's not running money back as well, so you can take a chance on Friday. And if he doesn't run Saturday, you get your money back. But he's even money at the top of that market. Dodging Bullets, 9-4. 11-2, Twin Light. Summersby, 6-1. And Grey Gold is 50s. Great to see him back on the racecourse. Should he return? Barry Geraghty's made positive noises about him running as well after walking the course on... it was Wednesday, wasn't it, that he walked the course?
It was.
We have slightly differing opinions here, I think.
Yeah, we do, yeah. Well, it depends really where you want to draw the line, because you think that backing him at even money is quite a good proposition?
Yeah.
Because
it's Sprinter Sacra.
Yes, and against this opposition, the... peak Sprinter Sacra would quite rightly demolish them.
Yes.
I agree. However, there is got to be a question mark about whether he's going to be the same horse returning. Yes, they've been positive. Yes, he's galloped round Newbury in his own time and seemed to jump okay, but that didn't really tell us anything. And it's hard to replicate, obviously, race conditions at home, particularly when they've always said that he's such a good workhorse that they can't really get anything to go with him. And the horse that he worked with at Newbury, I think, was Tanks for that.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, I think I could beat him on a good day now, to be honest, because he's a bit old and a bit slow. So, yeah, I just wouldn't back him first time out. You know, I'd be great if he won. Great that he comes back as good as ever. I want all of that to happen, but I just don't want my money on it because it's a big chance. The two cases of horses have had the same problem as Sprinter Sacra. There's the big one, which is Denman, obviously.
Who won a Hennessy.
Who put up the best performance of his career after suffering from that problem.
Yes.
Yeah. When he won the Hennessy for the second time. Again, I agree with that, Mark. But before he had the problem, he had won what was 13 of his 14 career starts. Okay? After he came back, yes, he won the Hennessy, but he only won one of 10. Which was the Hennessy. Now, admittedly, he was placed in two Gold Cups, but the form, the level of form that he showed, with the exception of the Hennessy, wasn't the same as to what it was before. Okay? Fell and unseated, which, for a horse who's an outstanding jumper. You know, remember that day when he got rid of AP at Newbury?
Yeah, but you can't... You know, I don't know if you can put that down to having a heart...
No, you can't, but I'm just saying, for me, what there was... Whereas he was very good at a consistent level, very, very good,
but
consistently...
But obviously can't maintain that for his... whole career.
Well, no, but I think the level of his form dropping wasn't coincidental with him coming back from having the heart problem. Personally, I don't think.
I don't think it's related.
No, I don't. Well, I think it is related. It's more than coincidental.
I don't know. I don't think you can defy top weight in a Hennessy if you've got anything wrong with you.
And no, but what I'm saying is...
after that.
Well, what I'm saying is Sprint Second might win and might win on Saturday. We're like, oh, wow, yeah, he's back. He's as good as ever. And he might never win again. He might get stuffed on Saturday. He might then win the Queen Mother and go, oh, yeah, he needed the right Ascot. That was great. And then he might never win again. He might be placed in the next three champion chases, but it still won't be the same horse that he was before.
Yeah.
I think it's a big ask for him to come back at the same level consistently as he was previously, personally.
Yeah, but my argument is he doesn't necessarily need to be at the same level to win this race.
That's...
And you get even money about him. He's not going to be even money for many races after if he comes back and wins.
No, that's true. Until he gets beaten in Cheltenham and Aintree and goes off at 5-1 for the Tingle Creek.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, basically, I mean, you could talk about it till the end. Yeah, I want him to come back. I want him to be as good as ever. You know, as we've said, I really do. That's you know, as everybody wants. But I wouldn't back him, not first time.
Mm.
Just because I'm just wary after such a problem. It's a hard ask, I think.
It is. It is taking a bit of a leap of faith, and
yeah,
it is probably the sensible option not to back him.
My middle name, that mate.
But I don't know. I'm a sucker for the old superstars. I always stick by them.
Oh, me too. I mean, I back Quarto Star over the cliff, but the difference was he actually won a few times.
Yeah.
They never really lost his form. So there were a couple of bad performances when he probably shouldn't have run, but it wasn't indicative of a general loss of form despite being 12.
Yeah. Okay, well, like I say, we could talk about that all day. So we won't. We'll move on.
It's going to be interesting. It is fascinating, isn't it, really? Because obviously you've got Dodging Bullets, who's coming off the back of a career best run at Sandown. Summersby, who's 11, but he wasn't that far behind Dodging Bullets. And his only grade one win was in this race, Summersby, to be fair. Grey Gold's not good enough, I don't think, to be honest. And Twin Light, reportedly better right-handed by William Mullins. And his ground is perfect for him, really. Very good indeed, in fact, to be fair. One thing that does worry me about Willie Mullins is that his strike rate with chasers isn't very good in Britain.
Mm.
He's got a very good strike with hurdlers, but it's not very good with chasers.
Yeah.
And he still only had two winners in Britain this season, both of which were Faheen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, can't wait anyway.
Should be good. Should be good. Let's talk about some other news anyway. £130 million is the record-breaking prize money on offer in 2015, Stevie. Good news?
Well, overall, as a headline figure, you suppose you can't say it can't be bad. It's not bad, but it doesn't really identify lots of underlying problems, does it, really? I still think...
You're in a good mood today.
No, it's just been realistic, I think, to be honest, Mark. There's lots of... there's lots of problems with prize money, to be honest, particularly at the bottom end.
Yeah.
You know, there's certain things I really don't agree with at all in terms of prize money, you know, to the detriment of races that are at the lower end of the scale. So... I mean, the case in one, this is not singling out one, but it's an example. The race at Haydock that the new one ran in is worth £100,000 the week before the fighting fifth. I'd have much rather have had, you know, because that's the detriment of a long-established grade one race, firstly. And secondly, I'd much rather have had six races worth like £14,000-£15,000 each for horses rated up to 120, for example, in different grades and distances. And give them a chance of winning a big prize. Because if you've got a bottom-end horse, if you win a race worth more than £3,000, you're doing well, to be honest, which is disappointing. And so I'd rather, you know, see more of that, basically. The minimum values have gone up this year, but hardly worth going up, to be honest. And
it's a step in the right direction, I suppose.
Generally, yeah. Yeah, I can't be too negative about it. I suppose you can't be too negative because it is a step in the right direction. But, yeah, £130 million seems good. But the thing is... The levy board have forecast that next year there could be significant prize money cuts due to a falling levy. So, you know, if you've got a horse, try and win 10 races this year and then retire him.
Right, okay. Which
isn't going to happen. So
no, it's not.
It does. It is, you know, overall, like I say, a headline figure, it's good, but, you know, the picture's bleaker.
Okay. Charlie Swan has... quit training. He's going to retire at the end of this month.
Yeah, disappointing, that.
Yeah, obviously a good trainer, champion trainer in Ireland on a number of occasions. Down to the money.
Mm. And to be fair, Ireland's a tricky one, really, to be honest, because their prize money is obviously generally very good in comparison to ours, But obviously, you've normally got 26 other runners in the race. where here, you know, you might get less money, but you might only have four other runners. But from what he said, you know, two horses that he formerly trained fought out that grade two at Warwick last weekend, as he's mentioned in the Racing Post on Thursday. And he's obviously produced them from a young age, brought them through. You know, they've run well in points, then sold for a bit more money onto trainers and winning big races. So he's obviously still got the knack. And so he's focusing on that.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. If you're not getting the horses and you're not winning the big races, then it must be hard. But he's still got the touch of a top-class horseman, which he is. And, you know, he's going to use it to a better advantage, really, to make a few more quid. Which, to be fair, I mean, you look at the sales and some of the money horses go for from point to point, sort of six figures regularly. It's a good business to be in.
Mm. Yeah, so that's Charlie Swan. And final bit of news, unless there's anything else on your mind, Stephen. Just a favourable mention for Lara Estrella, who has drawn level with Stangard for the record of all other wins. Now both of them stand on 26.
Yeah. He battled well, didn't he, at Lingfield on Wednesday, in fairness to him. You know, the other horse, Investissimo, put up a good race to him, but he kept on. And considering he's won lots of races at Southwell and Wolverhampton, that was only his second win at Lingfield at the age of 12. So the versatility is still there. He's obviously just getting a bit slower, I think, as he gets older. But, you know, the problem is how many mile and 6 and 2 mile claimers are there? Can't imagine there's many, to be fair. No. So, you know, if they want to keep him going. But that means at the same time, he can be raced sparingly instead of just being out every week if he was a 6 furlong horse, which he would be. So, yeah, let's get him up to 30.
Yeah,
well, a nice round figure.
He only needs one more win to be the record holder on his own.
He does, so. Yeah. Well, if it was me, though, I'd want to get a bit of a gap because I wouldn't want any horse to just turn up next week and be able to beat me again, you know, from the record. So,
okay. Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give him some.
I'm just trying to think which horses would be anywhere near him at the moment.
I can't
think of many. Because Stangard's retired, hasn't he?
So. Yeah, he has. That's true. So General Tufto, he's won 13, but he's still only half of La Estrella.
Still a way to go.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, or should we move on?
No, we'll move on. Let's be a bit more positive, Mark.
Yeah. Okay, we'll get Stephen's thoughts for Friday on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Friday. With the intention of being more positive, unfortunately we don't have much jumping to go at. I don't think that apparently it could be unlikely that we see racing at Musselburgh.
Mm.
Even though it is only a precautionary inspection.
Oh yeah, but
I was kind of hoping that might mean it goes ahead, but all those folks on racing that should go ahead.
I think they would have been raceable on Thursday, wouldn't they? Mm. So let's hope. They did say it's going to be very breezy, so if that stops any sort of significant frost, you know, hopefully we could see them. So we'll keep our fingers crossed, but best to focus on what we know is going to be going.
Yeah, play it safe. The 255 at Lingfield is the first race that Stephen's picked out. It's a Class 3 condition stakes over a mile and a half. Only four of them in the lineup here, and I imagine Anglophile will be quite a popular favourite here, Stephen.
Yeah, he will, and rightly so as well, to be fair. His last two runs have been very good. His win at Kempton in the London Middle Distance Final back on the 10th of December was a good effort. For all that, he was receiving quite a lot of weight for some good horses, such as Grendasar. Grendasar then won a listed race next time out, which was a fair effort. And he did have another of today's rivals behind him that day, Noble Gift, who was in fourth. And he's come out and won since then as well, getting up to win at Lingfield, beating My Mate Chris, which was a good effort because My Mate Chris was coming into that race off the back of a hat-trick and was an improving horse as well. So the form's solid. Charlie Appleby's having a great time. Adam Kirby in the saddle as well, obviously leading all weather jockey. Now, Noble Gift was only three lengths behind Anglophile at Kempton. He wasn't all that far away, to be fair. And he's got, you know, a good solid level of form in marks off around, you know, races off this sort of mark. He was not beaten far by John Real in a decent race here at Lingfield as well, over this course and distance. And I do think he'll put it up to him. Obviously, he would have had to give weight to him, but because Callum Shepherd's claiming seven now, he does receive weight. But obviously, you get Adam Kirby versus Callum Shepherd. And, you know, no disrespect to Callum, but I know who I'd side with. The other two have got a difficult task. Keys on his best form would be quite interesting. I mean, he's been off, though, for, 3 years kneeling, so it's going to be hard, and Arayan's got no chance. So really a two-horse race, not very original, because it's going to be interesting between those two with Callum Shepherd and then those weights and measures if you really follow that in. But I think Anglophile's probably open to still more improvement. Two career best runs his last two starts, and Charlie Appleby's flying, so we'll keep it simple and go with Anglophile.
Okay, Anglophile in the 2:55 at Lingfield. We move to Wolverhampton for the other two races, the first of them being the 5:15, which is a Class 2 condition stakes. This one's over the extended mile and one furlong. Thankfully, a few more runners in this one. Eight of them, Stephen. So which ones do you like?
Well, yeah, this is an interesting race, to be honest, because most of these are sort of middle-of-the-road handicappers just taking a pot shot at a decent prize, I think, to be honest. On all known form, the one they've got to beat is Solar Deity. Really good, solid all-weather performer. Has been for a few years. He's what made the frame on 12 of his 20 starts on an artificial surface, including multiple wins here at Wolverhampton, including listed race nearly 2 years ago over 7 furlongs. 9.5 furlongs to cover today, but his last three runs have been at this trip, and they're all decent runs as well, to be fair, and gradually got closer with each one as well. And yeah, he's the one to beat. Stable companion Linton is interesting. He's at the age of 9. I mean, he's a Grade 1 winner in Australia, having won the Stradbrook Handicap. I mean, that was only 2 years ago in June. But his form at Maidan was very good last year. And his form this winter, well, Lingford last time was disappointing, to be honest. And I'm just not sure about these recruits, you know, especially at the age of 9, whether he's going to be good enough, to be honest. Yeah. I don't think he is. Lamar put in a couple of good runs in fillies races towards the end of last year. She was second to Tearless in the Fleur de Lis at Lingfield. She wasn't beaten far at Royal Ascot either, which was a good effort. She was fit in a Oaks trial before that as well. So bits and pieces of good form. And she was only 2 lengths away in a listed race at Deauville last time out. So I think she could be the one to maybe put it up to Solar Deity if he doesn't have a going day. And then Starling, Sansab, halves in all middle of the road handicappers. Westminster, yeah, he won at Southwell, but he's got over £20 to find strictly with Solar Deity. So for me, Solar Deity and Lamar are the two that are going to fight it out. And I think Lamar may well be better with this longer trip. She's only tried it once, but it was a bit early on. It was in a tough race. She's been playing a trade at 8, 7.5 at Deauville last time out. And I think she just gave a bit more improvement in her. I mean, we know Solar Deity. We know how good he is. We know his level. And I'm sure he'll run a good race again. But I think Lamar going slightly up in trip for James Tate and Luke Morris will shake him up. And I think at the prices and receiving weight as well, of course, I'll go with Lamar.
Okay, Lamar then in the 5:15 and the 6:15 is where we finish. This is a Class 4 handicap over the slightly extended 7 furlongs. It's for 3-year-olds. And Little Lord Nelson arrived here in pretty good nick. He won at Wolverhampton over 5 furlongs last time on his handicap date. That was a median auction maiden stakes. Into handicap company here today, Stevie. Unexposed. What do you make of him?
He is unexposed. I mean, and it's interesting as well, really, because he's been campaigned, you know, he started off over 6, then he went up to 8, then 9.5, and then dropped back 3.5 furlongs, and he won well, but it was a 5-runner median auction maiden. Obviously, he gets a fairly low weight as well, but he was put up in the weights for that, which is bizarre, really, considering it was a 5-runner race. And the horses below him, well, Alche, the runner-up, has been rated 67, and then you've got 55, 57, and 50, and they weren't beaten that far. So it was a bit harsh, you put him up, to be honest. But the jockey one on him, who's riding him again, Aaron Jones. So, yeah, it's solid enough. He's all right, but he doesn't excite me too much, to be honest. Biting Bullets, very impressive when he won at Kempton in a nursery off an £11 lower mark. Then he got turned over 2 days later at Lingfield over a mile. And obviously they were keen to get him out again because he was going to be clouted. So now he's £5 higher again. Trip should suit him, that's fine, but I think he might just... I do like him, to be honest. His second to Kotai Glory was a good run as well, Biting Bullets. I do like him, but I'm just concerned that, you know, £11 above his last win is going to be difficult. Kaufman, course and distance winner on 2 occasions for John Gosden. He ran a disappointing race at Lingfield, went up in grade last time out, finished last, but he led for the first time. It is hard to make all at Lingfield. Change of tactics may not have suited him.
And if they just can drop him in here and still maybe chase the pace as he did when he won here twice, back here as well, I think he's more interesting. Kaufman, don't like rock
put
around.
They put the thingy on as well, they put the piece on for the first
time. They have, yeah. Yeah, they have. Rock around the clock. He was in front of Kaufman last time out, but if Kaufman underperformed, then I'd fancy him to reverse the form. Barkan, his form's not good enough, really. Saltarello's interesting for John Quinn and Raul de Silva. Dropped a little bit in the weights after a couple of good runs. Okay runs. Touched off here last time out and has gone up in the weights, but it was not a bad run. But again, I just worry if it might be a bit, you know, might be a bit tricky for him. I think Saltarello will run well, but I think Kaufman might just be a better horse, to be honest. And with the back at Wolverhampton, with the cheek pieces on, into an easier race again. He's only £2 above that last win, and he won that cosily for me, even though it was only half a length. So I'll go back. I'll you know, always forgive a horse a bad run.
Mm-hmm.
Kaufman.
Okay, yeah, and he's back into the same grade as he won at Wolverhampton last time.
Exactly.
He was up a few grades, up a few levels at Lingfield. So fair enough. Let's have a quick summary, Stephen. Spin through your thoughts for Friday one more time.
2:55 Lingfield Mark. Angler Farley still improving and should be hard to beat. At 5:15 at Wolverhampton, Lamar has run well over slightly shorter trips of late, and this extra yardage may help a turnover solidarity. And in the 6:15 at Wolverhampton, Kaufman, cheek piece for the first time over a course and distance. He's run, well, he's won that twice on the two occasions he's been here. Back down in grade, I think could go close.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Stephen. Good luck and enjoy on Friday.
Thank you, Mark.
So there you go. Thoughts of Stephen Powell on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:30 PM. Stuart Beasley, Gary Capewell and Ollie Pimlott will be the team in the studio. Hopefully we'll have racing from Musselburgh alongside the meeting at Lingfield. And in the evening we have Wolverhampton and Dundalk. I imagine we're pretty safe for those two to go ahead. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.